Well, we are going to start a brand new series today in the book of 2 Corinthians. This is one of my favorite books, something we've wanted to do for a long time. So if you could open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, we're going to be starting at the beginning, chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people throughout Achaia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He's delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Please do keep it open there in front of you. We'll pray together. Let's pray. Father, what precious words that you give to us, compassion and comfort, hope. Lord, we pray as we look at your word this morning that you would encourage us. We pray that you would strengthen us. We pray that you would help us to set our trust, set our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray it in his name. Amen. Amen. When you think of God, what do you think he's like? What attributes of God spring to mind? You know, you might think of his power and think of his sovereignty. You might think about his kindness or his faithfulness. You might think about his just anger towards sin and his commitment to justice. You might think about his grace and his mercy. When you think about God, think of God, what do you think he's like? Now that question really is one of the central questions of life. It really is one of the most important questions that we need to wrestle with. And because God is a real and living, active God, we will spend a lifetime growing in our knowledge of him, growing in our knowledge of who he is, what he does, what he is like. One of the reasons we need the whole Bible and we need to regularly commit to reading the Bible is because it reveals to us who God is in all the aspects of his character. He's not some two-dimensional character in a romance novel. God is living and active and powerful, all the things that I just said. One of the most beautiful, one of the most precious descriptions of God in the Bible, I think, is 2 Corinthians 1:3. The Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. When you think of God, what do you think he's like? Today we're looking at how God reveals himself as the Father of compassion, reveals himself as the God of all comfort. What a precious truth in a world that is broken and hurting, in a world where there is sickness and sorrow and death, in a world where there is trouble and there is suffering, that God is a God of compassion and a God of comfort. Today we're going to look at suffering. We're going to look at God's comfort through Christ, and we're going to look at how we comfort one another. First, let's look at suffering. 2 Corinthians is a book that has a lot to say about suffering. Paul's writing to a congregation that he pastored. He's away from them. This is probably the third or fourth letter that he has written to the congregation in Corinth. In our Bibles, it's only 1 and 2 Corinthians that have been preserved for us. And it's clear from the opening passage that Paul knows about suffering. Paul knows what he's talking about when he talks about suffering. Have a look at verse 8. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. And we don't know exactly what Paul is referring to, what suffering in particular he was referring to. If you read the book of Acts, you can read the story of Paul's life, his ministry, and he had all sorts of trouble. He had trouble and persecution from the authorities in various towns. He suffered physically from punishments and from mobs. He had conflicts both within and outside the church that he had to deal with. He had health problems that laid him low. Whatever it was that Paul is specifically talking about, he said it was far beyond his ability to cope with it. It was beyond what he had the ability to endure. Now we need to be careful as we go any further. Paul isn't talking about suffering in general. He is talking specifically about the suffering that he experiences in following Jesus. In verse 5, he describes it as sharing in the sufferings of Christ. Let me read you a quote. Paul's challenge to idols and idolatry in Ephesus brought upon him such an oppressive sense of burden that he expected to die as a result of the experience. His insistence on sincere repentance among the Corinthians led him to write to them out of great distress and anguish of heart and with many fears. While Paul doubtless was as prone to money worries, health problems, and relationship conflicts as other people, faithfulness to Christ and to the ministry were the chief source of his troubles. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that to be a very uncomfortable idea. Following Jesus leads Paul into trouble and leads Paul into suffering. It's not an appealing idea. The idea that God would allow suffering for someone who is faithful to him is not at all comfortable. But it is the clear teaching of Scripture that God works in our lives through suffering and through trouble. In Acts 14, there's one of many episodes where Paul is dragged out of town. He's stoned by an angry mob. They leave him for dead. And immediately after, Paul goes back through all the towns that he's visited. He visits all the churches that he's planted. And he says this, he teaches them, "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God." Jesus himself said to his disciples in John 16, "In this world you will have trouble. In this world you will have trouble." Following Jesus in this world, it will involve trouble, it will involve hardships, it will involve suffering. But it is not pointless, and it is not meaningless. Paul gives reasons why God allows the suffering. Have a look at verse 9. He's talked about this thing, this trouble and suffering that caused him to despair of life. He said, "Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us." The reason that Paul suffered beyond what he could bear was so that he could learn to depend on and rely on and hope in God, who is so much greater, so much stronger, so much more solid than he is. He discovered the power of God at work in his weakness. Even in the face of death, he saw the power of God who was able to raise the dead. When we suffer, we know that we are in the hands of a compassionate and comforting God. It is not without meaning, it is not without purpose. It is giving us a greater dependence on God, a greater hope in his power, a more patient endurance in his strength. We've had a lot of Charles Spurgeon quotes lately. It's always worth reading Spurgeon. Here's what he had to say about his own suffering. He suffered greatly in ministry in his time, and he said this: "I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages." I've learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. He's saying that when your suffering carries you to the strong and sure arms of God, we can be thankful for it, even though it hurts, even though it is overwhelming. We don't think suffering is good. We don't glorify it. We certainly don't go looking for suffering. But I want to encourage you to run to God in your suffering. Every trouble is an opportunity to run to him, to rest in his power, to put your hope in him. Cry out to him, knowing that he's the Father of compassion. He is the God of all comfort. And suffering is bound up in the Christian life because it is in the very pattern of the gospel that we believe. When we are united with Jesus, the comfort, the peace, the power that is his flows through to us. Have a look at how God is described in verse 2. Right in the introduction, he says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." God our Father. Why is God described as our Father? How can it be? How could it be that rebellious, self-centered sinners like you and me could call God our Father? Well, the answer is in verse 3. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." God can be our Father because God is Jesus' Father and we are united to him by faith. It happens because Jesus suffered for us. We receive compassion and forgiveness and comfort because Jesus suffered on the cross to bring us to God. That's the wonder of it. That is the wonder of the gospel, that Jesus was distressed and suffered so that we could receive comfort and salvation. That's the basic pattern of the gospel. Jesus, the Son of God, suffers for us so that we receive the comfort and the salvation from God. And that basic pattern is echoed in the ministry of Paul. Have a look at verse 6. This same pattern. If we are distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation, which produces in you peace. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it's for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. Now we need to be clear here. Paul isn't saying that he is suffering for their sin. He couldn't. He doesn't atone for their sin. He couldn't. Jesus did that fully and finally on the cross for everyone who believes. It is only Jesus who can suffer for the forgiveness of sins, that we can have the atonement of our sins. His sacrifice was sufficient to cover all our sin, all our shame. But the suffering that Paul experiences in ministry reflects the ministry of Jesus because he is willing to suffer distress and trouble for the name of Jesus. They can receive the comfort and the salvation that is found in Jesus. Think of a woman in the pain of childbirth. There is blood and there is sweat and there is tears and there is agony. She screams and shouts and cries. It is a matter of holding on through the trial, continuing to breathe and hold on. But all of this pain, all of this suffering leads to new life. On the other side, a precious little baby is born, a child is born. She will hold the child in her arms and share in the joy of new life. Suffering in the kingdom of God for the sake of Jesus, it is not without purpose. God is at work to bring people who are spiritually dead into new life. God is at work so that people are born again. And if we suffer pain and trouble in following Jesus, it is so that others can be born into a new life with Jesus. You can see from the passage, Paul is expecting that same pattern of suffering and comfort to be seen in the lives of the Corinthians. Verse 7, our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Paul is expecting these Corinthian believers to follow Jesus through suffering, through trouble as well. He is expecting that same pattern of suffering and comfort in their lives. And likewise, we can expect that same pattern of suffering and comfort in our lives. We too have been united with Jesus in faith. We too are following him. And that means that we too will share in his sufferings and we will share in his comfort. Let's talk about the comfort that comes from God. The Bible gives the wonderful promise that God cares for us. He gives us comfort and compassion in our suffering. If God is allowing suffering in your life, he is also the God who comforts you in it. Let's go back to verse 3 again. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. This is the deeply personal account of someone who has suffered much but has known the comfort, the compassion, the tender mercy of God. Paul says that the relationship between Jesus and his people is so close that their sufferings are his sufferings. And if we bear more suffering because of Jesus, we are also given comfort through Jesus. Think about Jesus. After he has suffered for the sins of the world, he laid out his life on the cross for the world. He wasn't shortchanged. After his suffering and death, he was raised in honor and glory and power by the very hand of God. He was vindicated, declared righteous before all the heavens and the earth, raised to the right hand of God. Every minute of suffering that he endured was paid back tenfold in this glorious resurrection life that he now lives. Likewise, Paul doesn't miss out. He is given comfort from God, compassion from God for every measure of trouble and distress and suffering that he experiences for Jesus. He receives a much larger, greater measure of comfort and compassion from Jesus. Through Jesus, Paul experiences comfort that far outweighs his troubles. Now, we don't want to be blind to the very real trial that he endured. We don't want to be cavalier about the cost of it, the pain of it. But he was delivered and he found a hope in God, comfort from God that far outweighs all the pain. You know, we tend to think that suffering and comfort are poles apart. They're kind of like two magnets that just repel each other, that you can't have suffering if there's comfort and you can't possibly be comforted if you're experiencing any kind of pain. That's not how it is at all. They go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. In fact, it is often as we live through suffering and trouble that we find a sweet and renewed relationship with God. You may know the name Martin Luther. That great German reformer in the 1500s, he was the principal spark in the Protestant Reformation. His impact on the kingdom of God, even 500 years later, it's just impossible to calculate the impact of his life on the kingdom of God. What you might not know is that he suffered deeply with bouts of ill health, and he often suffered mightily with bouts of depression. He wrote about how to grow in your knowledge, your understanding of God, how you can grow as someone who understands God. And he said that there were three things that we needed. First, he said we need prayer, to call on God, to ask God to make himself known to us. Second, he said we needed to meditate on the Bible, to read it, understand it, wrestle with it, meditate on it. And finally, he said this, we need suffering. To know God, we need suffering. He said this, there is testing, suffering. This is the touchstone. It teaches you not only to know and understand, but also to experience how right, how true, how sweet, how lovely, how mighty, how comforting God's word is. It is wisdom supreme. You might know about God, you might understand truths about God, but according to Luther, it isn't until your faith has been tested by trouble and suffering and trial that you experience the sweetness and the comfort of his word. This is the promise for us as well. You see it again in verse 7. Our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. How do we draw upon the comfort that God gives us in Christ? So often, I don't know about you, but so often when I'm in trouble, when I'm in distress, I will look for the quickest, easiest way to cheer myself up. When I'm feeling bad, it's really easy for me to look for comfort at the bottom of a bag of chips or the bottom of a bottle of wine or the bottom of a social media feed or the bottom of a binge-worthy Netflix series. I will do anything I can to just feel okay and take my mind off it. But the comfort of God is so much deeper, so much richer than that. It isn't band-aids and quick fixes. God invites us to rely on his power, to set our hopes on his deliverance. He invites us to walk with him through the valley of the shadow of death. We go to him in prayer, carrying to him our pain. We read his word, crying out for help to believe his promises. We call on him to give us the peace and the grace, the compassion and the comfort that we need. We say to him, you are my God, my hope is in you. Help me rely on you because I only have you. The last thing I want to look at this morning is the ways that this passage encourages us to comfort one another. We are called as God's people to minister the comfort and the compassion of God to one another. It's scattered all throughout this passage. You can see it in verse 4. Paul talks about how God is the God of all comfort, and he says, he comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. This gift of comfort is given to us so that we can offer it to others. If God has poured his comfort, his compassion into your life, you can be assured that sooner or later you will have the opportunity to encourage and comfort someone else. We have to offer to others the comfort that we ourselves receive. And we comfort one another by our endurance. Verse 6, if we're distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it's for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. Paul is saying that as he endures patiently, as he wrestles with struggles and suffering, as he receives comfort, it gives encouragement and patience to those around him that they too can endure whatever it is they are struggling with. When we know others who have gone through similar trials, when we can see how God has brought them through, when we can see the way that they are holding on to faith in the midst of trials, we are given encouragement to keep going, to keep on in faith, to keep trusting and setting our hope on God. And surely that's why Paul is so open about his struggles in verse 8 and 9. He wants them to be strengthened by seeing what he went through so that they could see that they could too can rely on God no matter what comes. We comfort one another by helping one another to rely on God, setting our hope on him. That's what he says in verse 9 and 10. When we see another person struggling, we so often would do anything we could to just make them feel better. We just want to make them feel better. But we need help to rely on God. We need encouragement to put our hope on him. When I am suffering, my biggest need is not someone to take my mind off it and to try and cheer me up. As nice as that is, what I need is someone to help me see the compassion and the comfort of Jesus that is there for me, to help me see the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, to help me to see that this God is my Father too, to remind me that he loves me and he's with me and he cares for me even when I'm struggling, even when I can't see it. Lastly, we pray for each other. We are to pray for each other. Paul talks about the help that is given through their prayers. You can see it at verse 10. He's delivered us from such a deadly peril. He will deliver us again. On him we've set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Never underestimate the power of your prayers, especially for those who suffer, especially for those who need encouragement. We are helped by the prayers of others. When God answers the prayers of his people, the whole church is strengthened, built up, and encouraged. You know, as I look around the room, it's clear that many of us have been sheltered and spared from a lot of suffering, and we can be thankful for that. Many of us are in the midst of grief, the midst of trouble, in the middle of trials and suffering. Some of us have faithfully walked with suffering and walked with trouble for years. But for each of us, I pray we can put our hope on God, that we can rely on the power and the strength that he gives. I pray that we can comfort one another with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. And I pray that we can praise God, knowing him as the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, the God who is with us in all our troubles and has the power even to raise the dead. Let's pray. Lord, we do praise you. God, we honor and lift up your name. We worship you. Of all the wonderful, mighty deeds of your arm, all the magnificent, glorious things that we could praise you for, your power, your justice, your goodness, your sovereignty. We also praise you for this, that you are the Father of compassion, that you are the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. Father, some of us are suffering and we need that comfort poured into our hearts, poured into our lives. Do you help us to set our hope on you? Help us to rely on you. I pray for every suffering, struggling heart, that you would pour your comfort into their hearts, into their lives, that they might know your goodness, your compassion, your presence. Some of us, Lord, can look back on hard times, and we praise you and thank you because we can see that you have brought us through. You have delivered us. Help us to be grateful. Help us to be thankful. Help us to be humble, recognizing that it is only through your strength and your power that we endure. Lord, would you give us the grace to offer this comfort to one another? Lord, let ours be a church where the comfort of God flows between us because we are walking with you. We know you and we've received this comfort that you give. Lord God, we praise you. We honor you. We thank you that you are a gracious, compassionate, merciful, kind Father. We pray, Lord God, for those who do not know your compassion, who do not know your comfort, that you would bring new life, people born again into your kingdom, that we would proclaim Jesus and that we would see many people come to rely and trust on him. It is only in him that life is found. Lord, we pray that you would do your work among us, and we pray it in the name of Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.